I manage the Tactical Advantage business within the Sales Operations Centre of Excellence here in Europe. Thank you for joining us today for this, which is a very important announcement. The speakers that we have on the call today are Eric Menashe, who I'm shortly to hand over to, who will give you an executive overview. And then we'll be presented to by Carlos Belac, Roger Kerr, and Mike Ryan. So in order to move this thing along, we are expecting more people to join us, but in the meantime, we'll continue. I'd like to hand over now to Eric Menashe, who is the Software Group Executive for Channel for the Southwest IoT. Over to you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jan. So, hello, everybody. My name is Eric Menashe. I'm French. I'm still happy before tonight, if you see what I mean. So, and I am, as Jan said, the software channel sales leader for Southwest of Europe, and I think we met with most of you in Lisbon recently. So first of all, I would like to thank you for this Q2 closing, because I know that we all and you all have worked very hard until the last, not day, but the last minute, last Friday, to get everything, all the orders processed, etc. And, of course, I cannot tell you anything about the results, but I hope we'll have a decent quarter. So, I would like to really welcome you for this session. This session is very important because we'll describe the changes that the software group is making for the licensing structure. You probably know that when a software vendor is discussing the change around the licensing structure, they are really becoming concerned that we will be raising our prices. So the important message for you and for the customers is we really want to assure you that we are not going to raise our prices with this announcement. Okay, this is the important message. And really, you can be comfortable that your customers' current budgets will not be impacted. Perhaps you have not focused on that, but in the past year, the software licensing has become much more complicated than before. I'm not just talking about IBM. I'm talking about all the software vendors, the middleware vendors in the industry. So like all our competitors, we have introduced a number of exceptions to our license per processor policy. We have introduced a series of pricing tiers and levels that you know. So this has occurred because of changes in the processor, in the hardware technology. The hardware vendors have begun the widespread adoption of technologies such as multi-core that we'll describe you very briefly. So our intent is not to make you experts on hardware, but we want to tell you the impact on the middleware, on the way we're going to bring that on the market. So the presentations that you will hear this afternoon will describe how these changes in hardware design are impacting the software licensing. You know that we'll make this announcement available on July 25th, okay, at the end of this month. Then this new structure is providing a flexible foundation for our middleware licensing, which is addressing this and future hardware changes, and also provides clarity to our licensing approach. I want to remind you that this is a pre-announcement training, and of course, this information is IBM confidential until the announcement on July 25th. And so please do not discuss this outside with your customers or outside of your company. Only with IBM you can discuss. So finally, I think and I hope you will agree that this processor value unit licensing structure is a very positive change to our licensing. okay? And this and will make it possible to adapt to the new processor technologies coming soon. So really, I encourage you to listen very carefully to the presentations today. And the additional detail being provided in follow-on sessions. So that's all for me. So having said that, I would like to turn over to Roger Kerr.
Thank you very much, Eric. Hi, my name is Roger Kerr, and I am part of the Marketing Strategy and Planning Organization in IBM Software Group located in Somers, New York in the United States. And as Eric said, I'd like to talk to you today about the announcement that we're making in about 3 weeks on July 25th. This announcement will reinforce that IBM is really evolving our per-processor licensing approach in a way that carefully balances both licensing simplicity with the value that an individual customer potentially can receive from our middleware on specific hardware platforms. This licensing evolution does not change a customer's net price. Eric mentioned that, and I'd like to reinforce it. But it builds a foundation to accommodate future software and hardware technologies. By the way, I should mention I'm using the presentation PBU Internal Overview 6.26.06 version 2, which you would have found on the website that was linked to with the enrollment. Moving to slide 2, this presentation is going to describe why IBM is making the announcement, what it is we are announcing, and how we will implement it. We will start by looking at the current licensing marketplace and the ways that new hardware technologies, especially multi-core chips, have impacted software licensing. To do this, we will also discuss some key hardware terms that become important in software licensing. With this background, I will then describe how IBM and most other middleware vendors have adapted their current licensing structures to address these changes. Then we'll take a look at the new approach that IBM is announcing on the 25th of July called Processor Value Units, the benefits of this structure. This includes a key benefit, that current customer budgets will not be impacted since we will not be changing a customer's prices in the transition to this licensing structure. Let's start by taking a look at the two most prevalent licensing metrics that IBM Software Group uses today on slide 3. We will be announcing a replacement of per-processor licensing for all middleware available through Passport Advantage that uses this metric. This is actually an overview of the announcement. Although we have other software licensing metrics, such as per-user pricing, these other metrics will not be affected by this announcement. Only those products which are licensed per-processor are impacted. We have a simple conversion from the existing per-processor licenses, which I will show you later in the presentation. Key feature of this conversion, though, is that with the exception of some minor rounding changes that will occur in a few countries, we are not changing the prices our customers pay for their middleware. As I mentioned before, this announcement will take place in 3 weeks on July 25th. General availability will be the same day. And I just want to take a moment and remind you that this information is IBM confidential until it is announced on the 25th. And as Eric said, should not be discussed with anyone outside of IBM or your own firm until then. Let's take a look now at slide 4. Let's start by looking at the existing per-processor licensing environment that we have today. Historically, we and other middleware vendors have required one processor license for each core on the server. This is what we refer to as full capacity licensing. In the picture you see on the top of this page, 4 license entitlements would be required since the server has 4 processor cores. We have also made subcapacity licensing available when a customer doesn't want to license all the processor cores in the server. Subcapacity licensing uses separate part numbers and has a set of conditions which must be met. Let me just point out the 2 key conditions that a customer must have is that they must run a no-charge compliance tool called the IBM Tivoli License Compliance Manager, and they must submit a report on their usage to IBM Quarterly. If you are interested in learning more about subcapacity licensing, please refer to the subcapacity page in Passport Advantage available through our web. To give you a sense of the impact of this announcement, just over half of our middleware revenue uses the per-processor licensing charge metric today. Of those licenses, a little over half are on x86-based systems, with the remainder on CISC or Itanium systems. Looking forward, we expect the percentage of our licenses deployed on x86 servers to grow about 10 points faster than on RISC systems at about 12% compounded annual growth rate. Let's move now to slide 5. Before we go any further, let's talk about some hardware terms which have recently become very important in software licensing discussions. From a software perspective, the core is the most important component of the server hardware system. It is a functional unit that actually interprets and executes software instructions. One or more cores can be placed on a chip. When there is more than one core on a chip, we call it a multi-core chip. These chips then plug into what is called a socket on a server. At one time or another, you may have seen the pins coming out the back of a chip. These pins are what plug into that socket. Prior to the introduction of the x86 dual-core chips in April of 2005, there wasn't much of a question about what a processor was. When dual-core chips were originally introduced by IBM in 2001, both the individual cores were faster than the previous generations of cores, and by putting two of them on the same chip, customers saw their performance improve over 2 times for the chip as a whole. As a result, almost everyone agreed the processor should continue to be defined as the core, since users were getting the full benefit of both cores on those chips. However, when the x86 dual-core chips were introduced last year, Intel and AMD implemented the performance improvements using a different strategy. They began focusing their performance improvements at the chip level, not at the processor core level. They did this to address customer issues where those who had large machine rooms with hundreds or thousands of servers required too much power to run these servers, and they generated too much heat. The operational costs for these customers were getting too large. So with their dual-core chips, Intel and AMD actually slowed their processor core down relative to the previous generation so that they would require less power and generate less heat. But with two cores on a chip, customers still saw the normal performance improvements that they expected with a new generation of x86 chips. IBM, as do most middleware vendors except Microsoft, continue to define a processor as the core because this is where the software actually executes. However, most hardware vendors have followed Intel and AMD's lead and now define the processor as a chip. IBM System P and System I are the key exceptions among hardware providers. As you can imagine, this difference in the definition of a processor has led to greater confusion in the marketplace. For the remainder of the presentation, and in fact, in any licensing discussion you have with IBM Software Group, you should be aware that the terms processor and core mean the same and are used interchangeably. I'm sure you're already aware that the number of processors that are required for a particular workload can vary by processor type, with more processors required when a core is relatively slower. This is depicted on the bottom of the chart. This difference now impacts the way a customer has to evaluate alternative platforms when they consider where to implement an application, especially when it comes to the number of middleware licenses required. To provide a specific example, it generally requires more x86 processor cores to run a particular workload than would be required if that workload were running on a System P, which you may know was formerly known as the P series. Let's now move to slide 7. For the past 30-plus years, hardware vendors have delivered performance improvements at the core level, and customers have become accustomed to a reduction in the price per unit of throughput when they buy new technology. This is great for customers because, for a constant workload, this means that over time, the customer can run it on fewer processors, requiring fewer software licenses. From a software vendor's perspective, however, this isn't the best trend. Compounding the impact of this trend, there are two different chip design strategies that can be used to improve performance that impact software licensing, and these are depicted on the bottom half of the chart. Performance of the processor core can be improved by increasing the clock speed of a processor. As I mentioned, this is what historically has happened in most processors. Vendors, including IBM with our power architecture, continue to push the processor performance this way. Another way, though, to improve system performance is to place more than one processor core on a single chip. This, as you saw on the previous page, is what we call a multi-core chip. Although the total chip level performance is less than 2 times the speed of the sum of the individual processor cores due to the coordination effects, it has proven to be a very effective way to provide additional performance. And hardware vendors can use either of these approaches individually, or they can use them in combination to provide performance improvements. Unlike IBM, other vendors, including Intel and AMD, have primarily adopted the multi-core chip approach to provide improved performance. This strategy started with the introduction of their first dual-core chips in April of 2005. Again, they did this in order to reduce the power required and the heat generated by their systems. And as I mentioned, they actually slowed down their processor cores, these chips, compared to the previous generation of single-core chips, but increased the overall chip performance by placing the two cores on the chip. And going forward, it is expected that their core performance will be essentially flat. They will drive their improved performance by leveraging multi-core chips. However, other vendors, primarily IBM with its power architecture, continue to improve performance of its processor cores. As a result, the performance difference between the faster processors and the slower ones will increase over time. Although there were always gaps in processor performance prior to 2005, these gaps will rapidly increase as these alternative chip strategies are executed. This difference now impacts the way a customer has to evaluate alternative platforms when considering where to implement an application, especially regarding the number of middleware licenses required. For a middleware vendor, this processor core performance disparity creates a dilemma regarding price. You set your prices targeting the slower processors available, thus providing a bargain to those with faster processors, or instead, do you set them based on the fastest processors available and effectively overcharge those with the slowest processors? Let's take a look on the next page to see how middleware vendors have reacted to this challenge. This is slide 7. Middleware vendors have responded to this dilemma by requiring a different number of licenses for some processor types. The changes in the middleware licensing began with the introduction of that x86 dual-core chip announced last year. Since customers were getting much less than a 2x performance improvement over the previous generation of single-core chips, IBM made an exception to our one license per processor core policy and only required one license entitlement for the two cores on the x86 dual-core chip. Other vendors also adopted this approach. Some, such as Oracle and BEA, also began treating RISC dual-core chips differently from single-core chips as well. And finally, when Sun announced their new server systems with the T1 octa-core chip late last year, this is the chip that was codenamed Niagara, additional exceptions were made for it since it had unique performance characteristics. All this has added complexity to software licensing for both vendors and our customers. In effect, the industry has introduced multiple licensing levels, or tiers, for software licensing. IBM, as you can see in the table on the bottom, have 3 separate tiers, while Oracle has the most number of tiers at 4. As you can see, although IBM, Oracle, and BEA all define a processor as a core, in effect, customers have to deal with fractional licenses at the processor core level. And we have heard from our customers that fractional licensing and the rules around it can be very confusing. Let me make one other comment while we're looking at this table of effective license entitlements per core. Some vendors might like customers to compare them with IBM only on the number of software licenses required. As you can see, on some platforms, IBM requires more effective licenses than others do. However, the number of licenses is only half the story. I'm sure you've heard before that the price you pay is the product of the price times the unit, the price per unit times the quantity of units. With the license entitlement shown here, all we're talking about is the quantity. To understand the real bottom line impact to you and to your customers, you have to compare your middleware alternatives with the final price customers will have to pay. And I'm confident that even in those situations where IBM may require more effective license entitlements, we will be very competitive on the total price. Let's take a look at why this will only get more complex on the next page, or page 8. We now have effective core licensing structures that get as small as 1/4 of a license for each processor core on the Sun octa-core chip. As multi-core chips that have even more processors than 8 on them are introduced in the future, the ability to use fractional licenses to address software licensing just gets worse. In fact, the market analyst firm Gartner Group wrote in regard to Oracle's four-level pricing tier approach that the approach just couldn't effectively scale to handle these environments with even more cores. Some people suggest that the best way to solve this problem is for middleware vendors to license their middleware at the chip level instead of at the processor core. Let me show you now why that approach won't work. This is on the bottom half of the page. With all the power available in today's processor cores, customers increasingly want to partition their systems so that an application is limited to only a subset of the total processors in the system and have the licensing structure support this approach. This is the reason we introduced subcapacity licensing a year or so ago. This approach is becoming increasingly common as virtualization technologies are widely adopted. In fact, technologies are beginning to emerge that enable partitioning below the whole processor core. In the example on this slide, a customer whose server has 4 processor cores wants to run an application in 3 of them and DB2 in just the 1 remaining processor core. Under the traditional full capacity licensing model, they would be required to have 4 licenses of DB2. With subcapacity, however, they would only require 1 DB2 license. If were licensed at the chip level, 2 licenses would be required instead, since the 1 core physically resides on a dual-core chip. When using chip licensing, this would require the customer to effectively pay for 2 processor cores, even though DB2 is being used only on just 1. And the situation will become worse as the number of cores per chip continues to increase with quad-core, then octa-core, and so on. It is because of this trend that middleware vendors, IBM included, need to license the processor core today. Let's move now to slide 9 and take a look at the objectives for the new licensing structure. As we and IBM thought about these problems, we developed a set of objectives that any replacement for the per-processor license metric must meet. First, we wanted to demonstrate IBM's licensing leadership the structure that would adapt to the expected changes in the underlying technology. We also wanted to eliminate fractional licensing, but at the same time, make the structure granular enough to address the issues we just discussed regarding multi-core chips. It was also important that any replacement structure effectively deal with the growing differences in processor core performance, recognizing that faster processors can generally accomplish more useful work than slower ones. We also recognized that a key benefit of our licensing structure was the customer's ability to transfer their licenses within their enterprise, allowing them to adapt their software architecture to better reflect their changing business priorities. Another key objective was to minimize the change to our existing processes and structures, including Passport Advantage. And finally, we did not want to change the price customers pay for their middleware on today's processors. That was a mistake we believe Oracle made when they tried to introduce universal power units in 2000 and 2001. We recognized that it was important not to impact our customers' current budgets with this transition. So let's move now to slide 10 and take a look at the new licensing structure. IBM is addressing these issues by introducing the per-processor licensing replacement, which we call processor value unit licensing. A processor value unit is a standardized measure which is independent of any specific hardware feature or platform, and over time will evolve to differentiate systems based on relative performance. Initially, however, our focus is to convert to the new processor value units without disrupting our customers' current plans and budgets. Going forward, IBM middleware, which previously used the per-processor licensing metric, will now be licensed in processor value units. To convert existing per-processor licenses to the new processor value unit licenses, we have used a conversion factor of 100. As an example, each core on a RISC dual-core-based system required 1 license entitlement before this announcement, And going forward, you would multiply the one license entitlement per processor by 100 to get the new processor value unit requirement of 100 processor value units. We have created three broad tiers or levels, and all existing processors in the marketplace today have been assigned to one of these three tiers. What we are actually doing is transitioning the three per processor tiers we reviewed with you earlier to three value unit tiers for all existing processors, and for each product customers will need to acquire the appropriate number of value units that specific hardware they will run the product on falls into. For instance, as you can see in the table below, if a customer had four per processor licenses today on an x86 dual core server that has a total of 8 processor cores, they would need to acquire 50 value units for each processor core and multiply that by the number of processor cores, or 8, to get the total processor value unit license requirement of 400. As you can see, this is also the same answer you would get if you took the existing number of per processor licenses and multiplied them by the conversion factor of 100. All the processors within a processor family will be assigned to the same tier. Processor family is a group of processors within a given processor technology, which may vary in clock speed or cache size, which have the same or similar processor design and performance characteristics. We are not splitting families or causing customers to have to buy additional processor value units when they've installed minor upgrades to their existing hardware. So Power 5 is a family, as is the x86 dual core family or the Sun UltraSpark 4 family. By using a conversion factor of 100, we have eliminated fractional licenses and simplified the task of determining the number of licenses required on a server platform. Just like the previous licensing structure, processor value units for a product are fully transferable among systems. So if you now have the equivalent of 400 value units of DB2 Enterprise Edition on x86 dual-core systems, want to move these to a System P5 Plus environment, you can migrate these 400 processor value units to run on 4 System P5 Plus cores. This will help protect your customers' middleware investments and increase the flexibility they have to evolve their system architectures. As we place new processor families in the processor value unit structure, a key objective we have is to continue to deliver price performance improvements. Over time, we will continue to provide attractive price performance improvements as customers migrate our middleware to newer processor technologies. And going forward, we will use relative performance as a key factor for assigning processor value units to a new processor family. To determine this relative performance, we will use a composite average measure of a number of different industry standard benchmarks to develop a single blended performance estimate. These benchmarks will include both transaction processing and high-performance computing standard benchmarks. In addition to relative performance, we'll also consider how our competition is treating this new processor family if that information is available at announcement time. We will do this to ensure IBM's middleware remains competitively priced in the marketplace. By minimizing the number of processor value unit levels, we are balancing the benefits of a precise measurement, which may be hard to measure, and simplicity, so that this structure is easier to administer than the previous per processor structure. Earlier, I mentioned that we are introducing this new structure without impacting the price customers pay. Let me show how we accomplish this on the next chart, which is page 11. Just like the conversion of per processor licenses to processor value unit licenses, we have used the conversion factor of 100. In this case, though, instead of multiplying today's price by 100, we have divided it by 100 to get the new price per processor value unit. Let me be clear about why the customer price doesn't change as we move to the new structure. Since the price the customer pays is the product of the number of licenses times the price per licenses, by multiplying the number of licenses by 100 and, at the same time, dividing the price per license by 100, these two conversion factors effectively cancel each other out. You can see this clearly on the table on the bottom half of the chart. We are using WebSphere network deployment deployed on a RISC dual-core server system. Originally, the customer acquired 2 licenses at $15,000 U.S. per license for a total of $30,000 U.S. By dividing the price by 100 and multiplying the licenses by 100, the customer will now have 200 processor value units at $150 each for the same total price of $30,000 U.S. So I'd like to end this chart by emphasizing the point even one more time. A customer's prices will not change as a result of the introduction of the processor value unit licensing structure. In order to accomplish this, we maintain the existing tiering structure. One note on this, though. In some countries, the actual customer price might change very slightly due to rounding effects. This change is always less than 1% and could work either for or against the customer, depending on the situation. You'll be able to find out more about this transition and the impact on pricing and licensing in the separate module that Carlos Delac will take you through in a few moments. Moving to slide 12, to help determine the number of processor value units a customer might require on any server type, we are also providing a processor value unit calculator. You're certainly not required to use the calculator if you already know how many licenses your customer will need, although we recommend it in order to obtain the latest processor family announcements. This calculator is available in all the software group supported ordering tools which you see listed here. I recognize that many of these are for IBM sellers only, but those which are available to you as just one of our distributors will have the calculator included. It will step you through a series of questions that include the server vendor, the server model number, or the processor chip type. After inputting the number of processor cores you want to run this product on, the calculator will then give you a total number of processor value units that are required in that case. And you'll see more about this calculator in the second of the two training sessions that's scheduled in a few days. In addition, since a number of both IBM reps and a number of our partners do not use the strategic software group tools, we're also making a value unit table available for download. This is, in effect, a spreadsheet that will guide you to the correct number of processor value units for any processor core type. And for more information on this, like I said, please refer to the ordering tools module that will take you through, I believe it's on the 11th. Let's take a look at the benefits of this approach to both our customers and to you, our sellers. This is on slide 13. I think you can see that with a new processor value unit licensing, IBM has made the structure clearer and simpler to administer for both IBM and our customers. As we evolve to a structure based on relative processor performance over time, it will be easier for our customers to plan for new processor technologies. By introducing the structure without impacting the customer's prices, we have also improved the predictability of their current budgets and plans. And, over time, we will continue to provide attractive price performance improvements as customers migrate our middleware to newer processor technologies. The bottom line for customers is that this new structure provides a licensing foundation for the future, one that is sustainable as new hardware technologies are introduced. This isn't limited just to new multi-core chip technologies, but over time, we'll also be able to evolve to address the increasing adoption of technologies like grids and virtualization. For you, our sellers, there's also the additional benefit that, for the first time, as customers migrate their workloads to more powerful processors, you'll have the opportunity to sell additional processor value unit licenses. Of course, there will be times where your customer already has extra licenses in reserve or, as we say, on the shelf, but often the introduction of a new processor technology will result in your selling additional licenses. I'd like to thank you for this portion, and now I'm going to turn it over to Carlos Delac, who will take you through more detail on the pricing and licensing structure. Carlos?
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. I'm Carlos Delac, and I'm part of the Distributed Pricing Strategy organization in IBM Software Group. I'd like to provide more details about the pricing and licensing for the processor value unit licensing structure announcement IBM is making on July 25th. I'd like to remind you at the start that this announcement only impacts programs utilizing the per processor licensing metric. Other metrics, such as per user, are not affected. Let's move to page 2. And as I should say that I'm talking to the charts labeled PVU pricing and licensing dated 6/27/2006 version 2. So on page 2, in this module, We'll briefly review the history of per-processor licensing. Then we'll cover how per-processor licensing has changed today in response to multi-core technologies and why we need a new processor value unit licensing structure. Following, we will walk through the transition from per-processor to processor value unit license entitlements and prices. And you will see that prices and part number structures are effectively unchanged, although the part numbers themselves will be replaced. Following this, I will explain that we should make sure our customers focus on bottom line prices when comparing IBM to our competitors, and not let them focus instead on the number of license entitlements required, since this is only half the story. Finally, I will explain how processor value units will be assigned for future new processors before we will wrap up. Moving to page three, in some cases, since this chart deck has been designed as a standalone chart deck, the messages have already been covered by Roger, and in those cases, move more quickly. So on page three, let me just say that IBM and other middleware vendors have required one processor license for each processor core on the server historically. This is what we refer to as full capacity licensing. Let's move to page four. You see in this table in Roger's presentation as well, the net of it is that middleware vendors are differentiating by processor type, which has added complexity to software licensing for both vendors and our customers. In effect, the industry has introduced multiple licensing levels or tiers for software licensing. IBM has three separate tiers, while Oracle has the most tiers at four. As you can see, although IBM, Oracle, and BEA all define a processor as a core, in effect, customers have to deal with fractional licenses at the processor core level. And we have heard from our customers that fractional licensing and the rules around it are confusing. Let's move to page five. The most important factor that has strained the per-processor licensing approach is the widespread use of multi-core chip technologies in today's servers. Multi-core technology essentially means a chip with more than one processor core on it. Currently, our customers tell us that in the past year, middleware licensing has become more complex. This isn't just an IBM statement, but is true for all the leading middleware vendors. All the vendors have effectively introduced multiple licensing levels or tiers. As part of this concept comes the reality that on some platforms, a processor core only requires a fraction of a software license. In addition, as customers do planning for their next year's budget, they need to know how any expected new server platforms will be treated in our licensing structure. Currently, it is harder for customers to plan their budgets than when all processors required one and only one license. This is because of the uncertainties that exist about how vendors will treat coming generations of hardware technology. Please turn to page six. IBM's approach to developing a sustainable structure is to introduce processor value unit licensing. As you heard in the overview presentation, all our middleware that has used the per-processor licensing metric will now use processor value units. A processor value unit is a standardized measure which is independent of any specific hardware feature, and over time will evolve to differentiate systems based on relative performance. Initially, however, our focus is to convert the new processor value units without disrupting our customers' current plans and budgets. Going forward, IBM middleware that previously used the per-processor licensing metric will now be licensed in processor value units. We have created three broad tiers that all existing processors have been assigned to. And for each product, customers will need to acquire the appropriate number of value units that the specific hardware they will run the product on falls into. For instance, if a customer had four per-processor licenses today on an x86 dual-core server that had a total of eight processor cores, they would need to acquire 50 value units for each processor core and multiply that by the number of processor cores, or eight, to get the total processor value unit license requirement of 400. All the processors within a processor family will be assigned to the same tier. We're not going to split families or cause customers to have to buy additional processor value unit licenses when they've installed minor upgrades to their existing hardware. A processor family is a group of processors within a given processor technology which may vary in clock speed or cache size, but have the same or similar processor design and performance characteristics. The Power 5 is an example of a processor family, as is the x86 dual core family, or the Sun UltraSpark 4 family. For those of you who remember Oracle's introduction of universal power units 6 years ago, an effort to change the per processor licensing structure which failed, this is a key difference. They changed prices with nearly every little processor upgrade and were perceived by customers as being greedy. By having wide tiers that apply to all the individual processors within a processor family, we have made it possible for customers to upgrade their existing processor technology without affecting their software prices as long as that upgrade doesn't introduce a new processor family. And just like the previous licensing structure, processor value units for a product are fully transferable among systems. So if you now have the equivalent of 400 value units of DB2 Enterprise Edition on x86 dual-core systems, which would mean 8 processor cores given the current licensing exception, and want to move these to a system P5 environment, you can migrate these 400 value units to run on 4 system P5 processor cores. This will help protect your customers' middleware investments and increase the flexibility they have to evolve their system architecture. Our approach has a number of key benefits for our customers. It certainly clarifies how IBM will treat existing processors in the future, ensuring licensing flexibility and granularity, which customers need, remains in the structure. This is especially true when you consider the impact of multi-core chips. This approach not only eliminates fractional licenses, but makes it possible to keep leveraging subcapacity licensing. And over time, this will provide the foundation needed to effectively license in the kinds of virtualized environments customers are beginning to deploy today. Please move to page 7. You've seen that there are 2 steps in the transition to processor value unit license entitlements. The first step on the top of this chart is to convert from per processor entitlements using a factor of times 100 to processor value unit entitlements. The second step is to convert from per processor prices to processor value unit prices using an inverse divided by 100 factor, as Roger had mentioned in his presentation. Let's move to page 8. Let me be clear about why the customer. First of all, let me just say that, again, as Roger emphasized, middleware prices do not change for existing processors. Let me be clear about why the customer price doesn't change as we move to the new licensing structure. Since the price the customer pays is the product of the number of licenses times the price per license by multiplying the number of licenses by 100, and at the same time by dividing the price per license by 100, the net effect is no change, as the two conversion factors cancel each other out. You can see this clearly in the table on the bottom half of the chart. We're using WebSphere ND deployed on a RISC dual-core server system as an example. Originally, the customer acquired 2 licenses at $15,000 per license for a total of $30,000. By dividing the price by 100 and multiplying the licenses by 100, the customer will now have 200 processor value units at $150 each for the same total price of $30,000. I'd like to end this chart by emphasizing the point one more time. The customer's prices will not change as a result of the introduction of the processor value unit licensing structure. In order to accomplish this, we maintain the existing tiering structure. Move to page 9. As we place new processor families in the processor value unit structure, A key objective of IBM is to continue to deliver middleware price performance improvements. Going forward, we will also consider relative performance as a factor for assigning processor value units to a new processor family. To determine this relative performance, we will assess a number of different industry standard benchmarks. These benchmarks include both transaction processing and processor-based standard benchmarks. Other factors we will consider to determine the number of processor value units are market conditions and a desire to maintain a simple structure that balances precision with simplicity. Let's move to page 10. With different licensing structures in the marketplace, there is confusion, about the pricing of software. The license entitlements shown on the left side of the chart only capture the quantity. To understand the real price of the software, you should compare the price per processor core you will have to pay for each of your middleware alternatives. This is accomplished by simply multiplying the entitlements per processor times the price per processor. For example, using the enterprise edition of each vendor's data server product, in those situations where IBM may require more effective license entitlements, we are very competitive on price. This chart was developed using suggested retail price as an illustration. If you do the same analysis at your entitled discount level, I'm sure you'll find similar results. Please turn to page 11. To implement the processor value unit structure, IBM will replace over 1,300 processor part numbers going forward with a new part number on a one-for-one basis. The existing part number structure does not change, though. That is, we will still have part numbers for new license and first 12-month maintenance, maintenance renewal, maintenance reinstatement, and trade-ups. To establish the new processor value unit prices, I told you we divided the existing price by the conversion factor of 100. In some countries, due to rounding, this may have resulted in very small price changes of plus or minus 1%. We converted the Passport Advantage points in the same fashion. Please note that we expect this rounding will not impact a customer's Passport Advantage band level. In addition, for billing and administration simplicity, we created packs of 10 processor value units as the minimum order quantity for programs, where the per processor license plus first 12 months maintenance price was less than US$1,250, and where maintenance renewal price was less than $250. For example, when converting the per processor price of $100 divided by 100, the processor value unit price is $1, which would have resulted in prices under $1 when discounted. Spoke earlier on this page about the conversion to new part numbers. Let's take a look at this conversion in a little more detail on page 12. IBM will replace all our per processor part numbers with processor value unit part numbers going forward, but the existing part number structure remains the same. That is, we will still have part numbers for new license and first 12 months maintenance, part numbers for maintenance renewal, and part numbers for maintenance reinstatement. As told you on the previous page, all new license entitlements will be in processor value units, and the new part number prices will be in processor value units. All new license entitlements will be in processor value units, so any new license acquisitions will be in processor value units. Existing license entitlements will remain unchanged using processor licenses. For customers planning to use existing entitlements, they simply need to use the conversion factor of 100 to determine the equivalent number of processor value units. As all per processor software maintenance entitlements will be converted to processor value unit maintenance entitlements on July 25, 2006. At the bottom of this chart, you can see the effect of the part number change. Using Webster Application Server ND on a single core chip as the example, on the left you can see the old per processor part numbers, the number of required licenses, and the price per license. On the right side, you can see the replacement part number under the processor value unit structure. The number of these licenses which are required for a single core type processor and the price per processor value unit. As a reminder, you can see the price per processor core does not change. A complete list of the new part numbers will be provided as part of the announcement on July 25th, 2006. Please turn to page 13 and we'll wrap up. In summary, we are eliminating the fractional licenses that effectively exist today with this announcement, and we are doing this in a way that won't change our customers' middleware prices. In the future, we will continue to deliver price performance improvements as our middleware is migrated to new processor technologies. These new technologies will, over time, differ in their processor value unit assignment based on relative performance, which better represents the potential value a customer can get from the middleware. And finally, please make sure that customers compare us to our competitors using the bottom line price per core, since this is all that really matters. Don't let our competitors try to confuse the customer with arguments about value units versus per processor licenses. But at this time, I would like to turn it over to Mike.
Carlos, thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Mike Ryan. Excuse me. And I'm in the IBM Software Group Business Partner Enablement Team. And I've got a few charts I'm going to take you through, and the title of the presentation is the IBM Software Distributors Pre-Announce. So if you could open that up and start on slide 2. It's been said before, but the entire call is IBM confidential, and this is the disclaimer chart. So share this information with those within your company who do have a need to know. That is very important, but not outside the company. If you have any questions, feel free to contact your business partner rep, and we'll go to slide 3. Slide 3, what we just wanted to show you was a timeline. You can visualize this. Key date is the announce on July 25th, as been said before. Tactics are being undertaken prior to the pre-announce so that we can enable you, our value-add software distributors, so that you are armed and you are enabled and able to understand and position this to your VARs at the time of announce. So if you look to the left of that announce date, we are providing what today is called the distributor pre-announce. And then next week, and I believe it is July 11th, there will be the distributor skills training. And the skills training, we'll talk to a little bit more, but that really will be consisting of going over into deeper dives on the ordering tools, sales scenarios, and the customer experience. We want all of that training to take place, again, for the distributors prior to the 21st of July, and the European team is taking care of that by finishing that off next week. On the 27th, the 25th is the announce. On the 27th, we will utilize, I think, Thursday program series to be able to communicate this to the broader business partner community. So that will be the announcement. And then we will have the skills training, again, for the sales scenarios and ordering tools taking place sometime after or between the 31st of July and August 10th. Now, one key point on this chart I want to make sure we articulate. There will be a 75-day legacy Passport Advantage part number overlap in availability that is with the announcement of the processor value units. So there is not an immediate switch that is turning off the existing PA part numbers. There will be the 75-day legacy part number overlap. So I want to be sure to clarify that. If we go on to slide number 4, we wanted just to cover the business partner communications with you. Now, next Monday on the 10th, there will be a Think Thursday email that gets sent out to all of the IBM Partner World members. Now, as we mentioned that this is IBM confidential, we sort of have to mask what that announcement will be. So the announcement that's going out will be titled The Addressing Multi-Core Processor Technologies with Software Licensing. On the 25th, in the second bullet, the Partner World site will be updated, and there will be a special Partner World member email that is being sent out the day of announcement. On the 27th, we mentioned that they will hold the Think Thursday web conference as a kickoff, and that will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, New York City, that is. And then we will hold the processor, the value unit licensing sales training. Again, that will be scheduled between July 31st and August 10th. That will be a 1.5-hour call. And again, it's a deeper dive into licensing and technology and sales scenarios.
If I go on to slide 5, we're talking about the software sales deliverables that we'll have available. Now, these will include the announcement letter we mentioned before the kickoff and the skills training. We will have both presentations and the audio replays, so those will be available to the broader business partner community. There will be a brochure on this, a white paper, a selling focus guide, and there will be FAQs or frequently asked questions. And it was mentioned before that on TA, Passport Advantage Online for Resellers, we will have the value unit calculator. If I go on to slide number 6, and this is really the last chart that I wanted to pitch to, the call to action is that we want you to be able to become enabled so that you can position this to your value-added resellers. So you're attending today's distributor pre-announce, and then, likewise, the skills training that will be scheduled. It goes into the deeper dives. We also want you to be able to visit the IBM Software Distributor website that was created exclusively for you so that you can review the materials prior to the announce. Those materials will be available up until July 21st. And the third bullet is that we want you to invite your VARs to the Think Thursday kickoff, or they can't visit. They can't make that, and there will be the audio replay will be available on the Virtual Innovation Center. Okay, and then finally, if you have questions, direct those to your business partner sales rep or your local eCare team. The last chart is for additional contacts at worldwide level. There is myself and Marcia Thomas. So with that said, I know I went through the charts quickly. We've thrown a lot of information out at you today. I'm going to turn it over to Carol now, and Carol, if you can walk them through the instructions for Q&A.
Okay. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phone. You'll be requested to state your name. Once again, it's first name only for questions, *1. I'm showing no audio questions at this time. You can hold one moment. And there are no questions at this time, sir.
Okay. I'd like to thank you all for your attention during this call. I know there's a lot of information, but the information you have now in those presentations and can perhaps spend more time reviewing it. I'd like to remind you that the next conference call, which will have more information on how the implementation will happen, will be this time, or rather, start at the same time next week at 3 p.m. Central European Time, and I hope to see you all then.
Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.